You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
Well, it's good to be with you this morning. I am really glad that I'm looking out over you. If I had to preach to that crew of guys that were on that work slide, they were a rough-looking group of characters. I don't know if that's what Bill looks like when he works or what the deal is on that. But if we could have our project up there. But it's really good to be with you. We're grateful to you for the part you play in our ministry, Kingdom Quest. We're one of the missionaries that you support. We live locally, and we've traveled over the years about 40 short-term mission trips. Now we're doing our short-term mission trips in our dining room. We have two churches in India that we, two times a month for each of them, we are doing Bible study. We're at kind of different levels with them, but teaching some of the same material. And we just taped 33 discipleship lessons in June for two seminars in West Africa. One of them's already been done. So we still are involved overseas. Carrie does some mentoring with a young gal in Pakistan. And so we really appreciate your prayers, your giving for us. And so thank you. I hope I'm going the right direction here. I just get a few announcements out of the way quickly so we can get to the word. If anybody would like to get our newsletter, you can go to our webpage, kquestministries.org, and sign up for it there. And I brought a few books and manuals along as well. If anybody would like to purchase them, you can do that. Okay, we'll get to what we're really here for. We're here to worship. We're here to hear the word. You know, hearing the word is an act of worship if we do what it says, because it's the Word of God, and we believe He's truth, and He wants to do that. Now, what I have to share with you this morning is directly taken from the Word of God, but I also want you to know that as I was preparing this, I felt like this was a specific word for this congregation as well. And you can tie those two things together. It's something for everybody, but specifically I believe that God wanted you as a congregation, as individuals, to hear it. And I want to say this, as is true of every kind of prophetic type word that comes to a congregation, the leadership needs to evaluate that. Always the leadership needs to evaluate that. We just don't automatically assume something. And so I don't think there's any difficulty with this one because it's all from the Word of God. But I've got a couple things that I want to say to you. First of all, we've been observing this congregation for a long time. In fact, Carrie and I were at one of the meetings way back when you were meeting, I don't know, was that in a but in a nursing home or someplace that you were all meeting, and maybe there's no one here that remembers that. I don't know. Sylvia. And then we did a short interim pastorate here 16 years ago. Just to give you an idea how long 16 years is, because some of you maybe aren't 16 years old yet, Todd was really getting his feet wet and leading worship. And then somewhere along that time in there, as he was attending HAC, we began to hear about this young woman named Hannah that he met. A lot's happened since then. 16 years ago, Elijah didn't have all those muscles. He was a little guy in every way. Now it's like, you know, he's getting bigger every time I see him in the right way. A few of you were here 16 years ago, but it's always good to come and see people that we haven't seen before, because that means that there are people who are being added to the congregation. In fact, if I remember what Pastor Steve told me, I think he told me that even when he was on his sabbatical, that the congregation grew. That is a testament to health. That is a testament that things don't revolve around a person, but revolve around God. And so Just a couple things that I want to say. I'm getting ahead of myself there, so I backed up too far. Two things that I want to say to you is that as a congregation, you've done well. Not perfect. If it were perfect, you'd like be a congregation full of Jesuses, if I can say that word. But you've done well. People have come. People have come to the Lord. Healing has happened. It is just really, really refreshing to hear Bill's announcement and see how you're helping one another out with those kind of things. I can guarantee you, Bill, if I was up on that roof, I would still be there. I can get up the ladder and onto the roof, but I can't get from the roof back on the ladder. So you'd need to bring a crane up there to get me. You had one. I would still be sore, chomping on ibuprofen. But it's good that it's good that you're doing those kinds of things. And so there have been wonderful, great things that have happened here. And we, when I was on staff at Christ Community, Pastor Steve was there doing a variety of things. And, you know, maybe like an older uncle and aunt, we're really proud of Pastor Steve and the work that he's done and of you and the work that's been done there. But there's a second thing that I want to say. Don't rest on your laurels. God has more that he wants to do. He's got much more that he wants to do. It's a start. It's a wonderful start. But, you know, hasn't been seen yet what it is that God wants to do. Now, you might say from a biblical point of view, how do you know that that's true? And just a couple of scriptures to look at here. And as we begin to move through this whole thing, but this is an interesting scripture, and I really like this one because I'm just getting to the point where I'm at the upper end of middle-aged. You don't sound like you're buying that. So I like this verse. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15, it says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They'll flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in their middle age." Oh, old age. "They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.'" God's desire for people, and so I believe it's also true for churches or congregations, is that we continue even into old age to bear fruit. Earlier in that psalm, he talks about the grass that withers, and we didn't see that happen this year. In fact, Pastor Steve told me that you got so much rain up here this year that when it rains, it's like walking across the water when you go onto your lawn. But many years, about July, we start to see the grass getting brown, withering, not making it. And God says, we're not like that. He says that we're like a palm tree, and a palm tree stands strong and firm and continues to bear fruit. In fact, he says those that are old are fresh and green. Just lush. The last time we were out of the country, we were in Cote d'Ivoire, West Africa, during their rainy season. And everything was just green and lush and beautiful, and the plants were growing. And sometimes when we were teaching and the rain came down, it's a metal roof with no amplification, so it would get pretty loud. But green and lush, and that's what he's indicating, that we are like, even into old age, as believers in the Lord. Now, we've got politicians in our country that want us to have the Green New Deal. I do know about that, but I don't want to get into that. But I want you to know, you look up here and look at yourself. I'm the Green Renewed Deal. We want to stay fresh and green until it's time that we go home, and then it'll be really fresh and green. We want to see God work in our lives, minister through us as long as we can, to be bearing the fruit of becoming more and more like Jesus, to be bearing fruit in the lives of other people as we utilize what God's given us in order to be involved. And so how do I know that God's not done, that you can't rest on your laurels? Because he's never done bearing fruit in our lives. As long as we live, he wants us to bear fruit. Now, when it comes to fruit, God is a mathematician. The 95% of you who are not mathematicians, please don't phase out here. Like, I ask this question, how many of you like math? This is like the nerdiest group I've ever seen. Ricky's got both his hands up back there. I was at Christ Community one time and I asked that question. At Christ Community, one hand went up. Absolutely one. I think the rest didn't want to admit that they were really nerds at heart. But so there's a lot of you here. God engages in mathematics when it comes to bearing fruit. And I don't think I'll take time to read the whole parable today, Matthew 24:14-30, because it's 17 verses, and so it's a lot of information for us to go through. But the context of this, at least in the chapters that are laid out by somebody who made the chapters, this chapter deals with us being prepared for the Lord's coming. It starts out by talking about the 10 virgins, the 5 that were foolish, that didn't have enough of oil, were not sufficiently deep in their lives to have a sufficient amount of the Spirit's anointing, and the 5 wise ones who had that. And he says, be that way. The end of the chapter, Jesus at judgment says that when I was hungry, when I needed clothes, when I needed shelter, you took care of me. And they said, well, how'd we do that? And he said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And so he's basically saying, if you want to be prepared, treat people like you would treat Jesus. And then there's this parable in the middle. We call it the parable of the talents. Talents were coins. It was a kind of currency that they had at that particular time, but it's symbolizing what God's given us to enable us to participate in the work of the Lord. And king is going off on a trip, or the master is going off on a trip, and he gives 5 talents to one guy and 2 talents to another and 1 to another. Could have been gals in there. In our day and age, it would have been just fine. And he says, utilize what I've given to you until I get back. And the guy with the 5, he invests his, and when the master comes back, it's produced 5 more, and so he has 10. And then the one that had 2, he invested his, and it produced 2. And so now he had 4. And the one that had 1 said, well, I didn't really have much, and I knew that I was afraid of losing it, and so I didn't invest it because I thought if I'd lost something, I would be in trouble. And the interesting thing about this parable is this. We could talk about a lot of things. I mean, the key purpose in the parable is to let us know that the spiritual gifts, the aptitudes, the resources, and the life experiences that God has given to us, he wants us to place them at his feet so that he can utilize those to make us fruitful. And interestingly here, the man that produced 5 with the 5 and the man that produced 2 with the 2 received the same reward from the Lord. Well done. So the issue isn't what you've been given and you produce a lot and you're better. It's what did you do with what God gave to you? But the point I want to make today is this. The master said, take the 1 from the guy that hit it and give it to the guy with the 10. In other words, this one that produced much, God gave him more so that he could produce even more. And then there's another portion of Scripture, and I'm going to turn to that one. I have it listed up here, but Matthew chapter 13, 8. But I think I want to... Let me just check that out. For some reason in my mind, I'm thinking that that's Mark. It's Matthew 13, 8. I'm going to start at verse 1 and read it. It's a shorter portion of Scripture, and I want us to catch all of this. Matthew says, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, and while all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seed, and as he was scattering seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because it had no root, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced the crop 100, 60, and 30 times." And so here we see that God's a multiplier. He said when the seed is scattered, it doesn't all produce fruit. But the seed that falls on good soil will produce 100, 60, and 30 fold. So God wants to take the seed that he's given to us, if it falls in good soil, and he wants to multiply it. So God wants to add, and God wants to multiply so that we become increasingly more fruitful. Now, some of you might be listening to the parable of the talent and say, well, how about that? I'm faithful what it was given, and I'm given even more responsibility. We might think that means I have more work to do. Well, first of all, being more fruitful doesn't necessarily mean you're doing more work. If you're out cutting down trees, and the blade on your chainsaw is getting funky, you're going to work a lot harder to cut down a tree than if it's sharp and going. And so God can produce more with what we're doing. In fact, Carrie and I pray about that all the time. Lord, the things that we do, would you produce even more fruit through them than you did in the past? As we do a retreat, or as we preach a sermon, or we do a seminar, Lord, would you accomplish more through that than you used to do through the same things? And God can do that. And so he may well do that. And obviously, you know, time-wise, we've only got so much time, but God can work in that way. But secondly is that God can add to us. He can develop our capacity to be able to do more. And he wants to do that. And as we're faithful, I believe he does that. I believe the parable of the talents is teaching us that man was faithful with what God gave him. And so he gave him the capacity to produce even more. And just a couple of verses here that really indicate that. And I'll just, for time purposes, I'll just read them off my sheet because I have them here. But 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, Paul says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with all unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." I believe the King James says that we're going from glory to glory. There's an ever-increasing glory that is upon us as we're faithful to the Lord. Now, if we're getting an ever-increasing glory, it's not us. I mean, we got the glory we got. But as we're growing in the Lord, he takes over more of our life. He manifests in our life more than he did, and we begin to look more like him. And if we begin to look more like him, if we begin to live more like him, doesn't it make sense that we're going to be even more fruitful? We're a healthier tree. we're accomplishing more. And so so God will do that for us. And he does increase our capacity. I was thinking back on this and reflecting back. After I graduated from college, I went to State College and did what every college student does. I worked in a gas station. But my reason for doing that is that I wanted to have time to get training from one of the ministries that was working at Penn State. And so I got training in evangelism and discipleship and worked during the daytime to support myself. And as I became part of the ministry team, one of the ways they would develop people is they would give them a little bit of responsibility and then kind of increase that responsibility. And I remember one of the responsibilities that they gave me is they were having a Saturday conference, and the place where they were having it didn't have enough of chairs. And so my job was to find chairs from someplace else, make sure they got transferred to the place where the seminar was, and since it was on a Saturday and we were probably going to get them from churches, to get those back to the churches and in the right places Saturday night so they would be available for Sunday. Now, that means getting people to help, getting a pickup truck here and there. Really not all that big a responsibility when you think about it. Most of you could probably do that. But for me at that time, it was an honor to be asked to a responsibility. But that was kind of a big deal for me. I was working all day and doing other ministry things. But the purpose of it is they would see something that would stretch you a little bit. And then they'd give you something that would stretch you a little bit more. And I believe under the guidance of the Spirit. And so God does that for us. He will stretch us to the point where we need to exercise faith. If you can do it on your own, you don't need faith. On the other hand, if we think we can lead people to Jesus and have a spiritual ministry in someone else's life on our own, we're only kidding ourselves. Only God can change me. Only God can change people. Only God can draw people to himself. But our capacity for faith begins to increase as we walk through that process. The other portion of Scripture is a rather interesting one, because in these three verses, John states the same thing two times, and we may wonder, what is he saying here? In 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, he says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who was from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you've known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who was from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you've overcome the evil one. He's kind of going through this progression two times and doesn't even do it in the same order the second time, but talking about our spiritual life. And he begins by talking about children who know God. Well, it's talking about a newborn babe in Christ. What an incredible transformation that takes place in someone's life at that point. They've gone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. They've gone from being an outcast to a child of God, to a child of the King. They've gotten a new brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God has come to live within them, to energize genuine spiritual life in them so they could be connected to the Father. What an awesome thing. We sometimes forget about the transition that took place in our life when we went from being an unbeliever to a believer. We gained a family that, if you're as good with tools as I am, have people that can put a roof on for you, that love you. And it's a matter of love. It's a matter of leaving the spiritual DNA there. It's demonstrating things that happen. A tremendous thing happens. And then he says, you know, I write to you, young men, because you've learned how to overcome the evil one. You've learned to walk in victory. You've seen areas where there's been struggles, and by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not the person that you used to be. And maybe you've even learned how to engage in spiritual warfare. and see things happen. And then to the fathers, because you've known God from the beginning. And we might look at that and we might think, well, it's the strong ones, it's the young men that have learned those things that have the power to bear the most fruit. But think about those who've known the Father since the beginning. These are people who for years and decades have walked with God. They've walked with God through crises. They've seen God produce fruit in their lives and fruit through their lives in the most unusual ways and the most unusual places. They've walked with God through the dark times. And over and over and over and over again, they have observed God intervening in their life in little ways and in big ways. They have seen the work of God in their lives, and they've come to know this all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving, sovereign, holy God. They're able to bear fruit because their foundation is laid on the rock, Christ Jesus. And so, they may not be able to walk around that roof like they could at one time. They may not be able to run the mile as fast as they used to. They may even get tired around 8:30 during the meeting because they're just getting a little bit older. But they have walked with God in such a way that their faith is energized and this foundation on the rock is developed. We have people, we haven't seen them for years, but they were good friends of ours who lived in Staten Island. At the time, they had four little boys who probably have all graduated from college by now. And they just needed a bigger house than they had. So they started looking for land in Staten Island. You can probably guess what they found trying to buy land in Staten Island. It was exorbitant at the time. And so they had an engineer come out and take a look at their foundation. And they said, "You've got a good, deep, strong foundation. We can put another level on your house." And it actually wound up being less expensive than buying a piece of land, selling their old house, and putting a new one on it. When we have a strong foundation, God can build up higher. You take a look at some of these high-rise buildings and they just blow your mind. I remember the first time when I was a kid, I went to New York City. Just had little buildings back when I was a kid. And I remember standing in there, and you're like standing in a cave looking up at these large buildings that are all around. And we see the buildings like we see in places like Dubai now, these countries keep trying to build a building bigger than the previous one. How are they able to stand like that? It's because an appropriate foundation has been laid. And as we see that foundation laid, God is able to build more upon us. He's able to build a second story and a third story and a fourth story and keep on going up with that. It's because of our faith from knowing the Lord. John Bevere said that faith is the pipeline that enables God to multiply. Now, we don't do all that on our own. We have a role and seeking to build that foundation. The plants don't develop deep roots, and the foundation doesn't go down deep to the bedrock unless we do something to make sure that happens. And a couple of portions of Scripture, I'm just going to read them, and listen to what they have to say. And listen carefully, because frankly the Scriptures that I read carry a whole lot more weight than anything I say to explain what the Scriptures have to say. Matthew 7:24-27. "Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation in the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Psalms 1, verses 1 to 6. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And then John 15:7-8. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now there are sermons to be mined from those passages, and I'm sure there have been tens of thousands of sermons over the years that have been preached from those, but the one consistent thing that we find through all these passages is the necessity of the Word of God in our life. Not just to get information, but so God can produce transformation in our life. And he does that when the Word of God becomes so real to us that it becomes revelation. Because revelation isn't new scripture. Revelation is when I finally comprehend principles from the scripture and it becomes so etched in my life that my life changes. David says that if we meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, meditate means we ask, what does the passage mean? Might even take a little bit of study there, and study's always good. We ask ourselves, where is God in this passage? Where do I find him? What is he doing? What is going on? And we also ask, how does this passage apply to me? How can I allow God by the Holy Spirit to manifest the truths of the word that are found there to be in my life? It's really what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 when he talked about the man that built his house on the rock. It says that he's someone that practiced the word of God. Not just knows what it says. You can be an unbeliever and know what it says, but to allow the word of God to really speak to us. I've been doing some study in Psalm 119 lately. If you really want to learn what's cool about the Word of God, read Psalm 119. It's like got 176 verses, so it's taken me a long time, a verse or two every once in a while. And almost every one of them talks in some aspects about the Word of God. And here's the attitude that the psalmist, possibly David, says in Psalm 119:66. He says, teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. I believe what's in here is truth. I know what everyone around me is telling me. I know what the media is telling me. I know what I'm reading on social media, if you do that kind of stuff. And I know what's being told to me out there, but I believe that this is truth. I believe that this is where I find out what life is all about. And I'm going to fly by the instruments, because what I look at when I look out the window sure doesn't look like this is truth, but I believe that it is. And then in verse 68, he says this, you are good and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. God is good. Why wouldn't we want to listen to him? Why wouldn't we want to know what he says? And because we know he's good, we know the things that he tells us to do and the things he tells us are truth are also good, even though they may not always make sense. How do we prosper financially? We give money away. We give our resources away. We give our time away. It doesn't compute, but it works. And we don't do it just because it works. We do it because we believe God is God and we love Him and we want to do what He says to do. And so back to John 15, verses 7 and 8, He's talking about us abiding in Him, and He says, if you remain in Me, if you live in Me, and My words remain in you or live in you. It's talking about the fact that we've come to the conclusion that the Bible is the truth of God, and that's My truth. Now, I'm not saying by that, because we have this whole thing going on now, you know, that's your truth and this is My truth. It doesn't mean Dave has one truth and I have truth. It means that we've come to the point where God's truth has become our truth. There is no other truth but His truth, and therefore we're going to live by what His truth has to say to us, because even though everybody around us says that's not true, and even though it may look like that's not true, we're going to believe the instruments. And we're going to follow through with them. And He says, when we get to that point, we will ask for whatever we want, and He will do it for us. You never want to get that Staples button that guarantees that you're going to get answers to prayer. That's it. Because when we come to that point, we will only want what He wants. We will only want what He wants for our life. We will only want what He wants for our community. We will only want what He wants for our world. And we'll begin to ask for those things. That doesn't mean that He doesn't do stuff for us personally. He does. And those are things that He wants to do. But we want what He wants. Isn't that what you want? That He would just have His way in our life and accomplish in us and through us what He wants to do. To someday hear Him say, well done, because we've sought to glorify Him. We've sought to advance His kingdom in the way He wanted to, and somehow, by His grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, He has actually worked in and through our lives in a way where some of that happened. Do you believe in the truth of this word? Do you believe it to the point where you're willing to forsake every other religion, philosophy, and way of life to follow it? If that's the case, you're going to bear more fruit. It's going to happen. So get ready. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in desolate cities. That is what God has for us. And that is what God has for you. Imagine the nations being changed from Millersburg, Pennsylvania. Imagine that. I mean, go figure. Why Millersburg? Why not? Why not every other place? Why not every other place? We have been in Bible study with an Assemblies of God church in Nasik, Maharashtra, India, about 2.5 to 3.5 hours outside of Bombay. They have not been able to meet as a congregation one time since the pandemic started. They've started to allow temples and mosques to meet, but not churches. And so this pastor decided that he was going to start having two prayer meetings every morning, 5 o'clock and 5:30, and have Zoom meetings every night. They've grown from 40 families to over 80 families. They've seen people healed of COVID. They've seen God provide financially. And so when that happens, guess what? People say, hey, here's the Zoom link. Man, you got to get on this thing. And they're all over the place. They're from further away than would ever be able to get to their wherever their building would be on a Sunday morning. Oh, yeah. You're right, Todd. I don't know if that's on. Check the bottom, see if it's on. Way down. Oh.
This one miracle that we have to share with you, because it just shows what God is doing, mainly as this congregation is crying out to God, praying for not just miracles, not just healings, they're seeing salvations, but this one particular miracle was a testimony to the Hindu community around them. A woman came, they got to know her. She was demon-possessed. Her relatives were into all kinds of stuff, witchcraft and Hinduism mixed. And she came, and at first she sat in the back, and the demons would start to manifest, but then they prayed, and eventually she got saved, and they kicked out all the demons. And she and her husband wanted children. So they had their first baby. It was a girl. And girls are not as high on the food chain with them, so they wanted a boy. Second time around, she got pregnant, and the sonogram revealed that the baby had no fingers, just partial hands. And so she came to the pastor, she called him, and he said, no problem. She said, what do you mean, no problem? He said, no, we believe in Almighty God, the God who does miracles. We will pray. So she said, okay, they prayed. She went back for another sonogram, and it showed the same thing. And she was distraught. And he said, no problem, we will pray. And they prayed again. It was almost time for her to deliver. But she went in to have the baby, and she came out with 10 fingers, perfectly healthy, whole baby from this woman who was like writhing with demons, and now she's telling everybody about the power of God. So this is just the kind of thing God wants to do. He wants us to share the good news however he reveals it to us.
Amen. Take that back, this is on. But see, that's not just something for Nasik, India. It's something that God has for all of us. I don't know what it is that God has for you, but when we were singing the song about the nations today, I just felt like that's part of it. And I know it's already part of it. I know that you've been involved in missions and those kind of things. But all I got to say is get ready. Hang on. Because I believe you're in for a wild ride. A good wild ride. I like good wild rides. I don't like those kind you go to at the amusement park with, but the good kind of rides with God. And so if you're saying today, I want on whatever kind of wild ride God has for me, I want to bear fruit into my old age until he takes me home, I want to be bearing fruit, I want you to stand, and then I want to pray for you. Father, I am so grateful to you for what you've been doing here at Hillside. I thank you, Lord, for the work of God you've done among young people. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done in developing them. I thank you, Lord, for the growth that we've seen in a variety of people that we've known for those 16 years and some that we've just met recently. I thank you, Lord, for how you're adding people. I thank you for the depth of fellowship that is happening in this place, not only fellowship fun times, but fellowship building times with one another. for working together and praying together. And so, Father, I pray that you would fulfill every dream you had for Hillside Christian Fellowship. When it was envisioned by those who started it all those years ago, they didn't even know, but you knew. Fulfill all of it, Lord. We pray that you would increase them, that the church would go from glory to glory. The people here would go from glory to glory. The ability to bear fruit would increase, that more and more of them would become mothers and fathers who have walked with you so long that they've seen you work in so many different ways. Holy Spirit, come in a new way. Come in a powerful way. And may we be drawn to praise and awe of the work of God that you are doing in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.